Welcome to this episode of Ours to Protect on WLR.
Hello and welcome to Ours to Protect, our monthly look at climate change initiatives happening across Waterford.
Hello, my name is Kuba and maritime diversity is that fishes are dying because us people put plastic in the sea.
Hi, my name is Evan, and so another thing about the fishes is not just just regular fishes, it's also plants in the sea and also other animals in the sea. We're dumping too much rubbish into the ocean, and what we can do to stop it is so we can just stop doing it. It's pretty simple.
I'm Clodagh Walsh, and you've just been listening to the voices of some of the fifth class students from St. Saviour's National School in Ballybeg. Now, they have a special interest in a remarkable project called Floating Voices. It's all about sustainability, creativity and community. Floating Voices is the brainchild of Adele Tobin, former director of Waterford Walls and founder of Street Art Inc.
Floating Voices is an eco-educational barge programme. It's basically where I've commissioned a barge to be fitted to be zero carbon emissions, and where artists and scientists can reside on the barge and work with local communities along Ireland's waterways, exploring and expressing ideas, environmental issues that are relevant to each community. And it'll take place, it'll be moored in Waterford. So 9 months of the year, the barge will act as a hub, resource centre, information centre, where people can come and visit and find out exactly what was explored through the programme. And then 3 months of the year, artists and scientists will travel along Ireland's waterways and work with the local communities around environmental issues.
You said, I've commissioned a barge, and you said that so lightly, but to commission a barge, that's building a boat. So how did you go about doing that? Where did the idea come from even in the first place?
Initially, the idea for the actual floating boat came, and it was more of an art boat from a street artist that I was in communications with when I was director of Waterford Walls. She had developed and come up with this concept where she got local communities along the Hudson and Mississippi rivers to work with a troubadour of artists, and they basically built an art installation where it was like a flotilla by the time it reached the Mississippi. And I just was so inspired. I just thought that idea was so amazing, that it really is grassroots, getting to the communities, in particular communities that would find art beyond their reach, and that they would participate and actually create something as beautiful and as impactful as that flotilla was, because it's gone all over the world now. So that's where the idea came from. And then as regards for Floating Voices, it's developed and evolved to tackle climate action, because climate action is something that's been discussed and thrown about, and policy writing and fines, and there's loads of information and there's loads of conversation going on about it. But at the same time, when it comes to ordinary people, they find it, even though the appetite is there to make changes, they don't know how to go about it. So that's where I came up with the idea of focusing on climate action with the barge. I knew it was a barge that I wanted to build because I wanted artists and scientists to reside on the barge. And then I really wanted a zero carbon emissions, because that would fit with the whole concept of climate action. A lot of research and planning has been done on this now for the last 3 or 4 years. I looked at secondhand barge, repurposing an old barge. I looked at commissioning a new barge, and it had to be new because, one, it couldn't be zero carbon emissions if it was an old repurposed barge. And secondly, cost effectiveness as well. And it wouldn't be as efficient, and it wouldn't be as suitable for my purpose and the functionality of what I needed it for. So it had to be new.
Adele also works in St. Saviour's School, so together with Mr. McGettigan's fifth class student, she's formed what she describes as a creative cluster with St. Saviour's, Faith-Like National School and the National School in Clashmore. Now, the students are learning all about marine diversity, and it will culminate in the creation of a mural. And here's how they're going about it.
We went around the school looking for the wall that we're going to spray paint, and we had to take pictures on iPads of the wall and all that, and we had to choose what we wanted to put on the wall, all the animals and the coral and all that.
So they would have used their iPads to look up fish and sea creatures that they were interested in, and use these then as the basis for their spray painting project. So all the ideas would have come from them themselves and what they were interested in.
School project will also be a template for how groups will engage with the barge in a creative and sustainable way. But first, it has to be built. So if it's new, then you presume you have to find a marine architect, but you also have to find money. This is costing money. Where did that money come from?
I suppose the best way to look at this project is I've broken it down into two phases. So the first phase is the barge build, which is like a capital cost. The second phase is the programme where artists and scientists work with local communities. The programme, I have no doubt, is going to be funded left, right and centre. I am not worried about that. I also have the network of both communities, local authorities, artists, and I also have an in with scientists. So that's fine. It's the barge built. So it required, like you said, to get a marine architect, who I chose, a locally based architect called Rob McConnell.
To be fair, the first thing we're going to say is that ships are much, much, much greener than any other form of transport. Now, I'm not saying that because I'm a naval architect. It's just the reality. It's less carbon per ton to move anything. This is why we ship things around the world as opposed to fly them. So it really goes shipping, rail, cars, trucks, cars, and then planes.
That's Rob McConnell of Prolines Architecture and Marine Surveyors.
First start, shipping is green, but obviously Adele wanted to go greener, so to speak. So we initially looked at using alternative fuels like HVO and things like that, because when she initially came to me, I really didn't believe that an electric boat was capable of servicing her requirements. In the period, literally over the last 18 months, electric engines and electric power supplies and all the rest are just starting to come on stream. And so there's a supplier in Ireland who supplies a system called ePropulsion. They're based in Dublin, and they have a unit and a set of batteries which can go into that vessel. Now, that sounds perfect, but there are difficulties associated with that. Batteries, lithium-ion batteries, are known to be not necessarily more unstable than petrol, but certainly more unstable than diesel. And again, we go back to the legislative point of view. And so we're in negotiation with the Department of Transport to see what the extra requirements are for this. There's no rules. So at the moment, it's very much a conversation backwards and forwards trying to satisfy. When the boat is set up, the boat will be set up so that it plugs into the grid, taking the electricity from the grid. To power a vessel is much better than burning dead dinosaurs in your fuel tank. So she's instantly better from that point of view. But because the system converts to a DC system on the boat, it means that in time she will be able to put solar panels on, wind vanes on, even be able to put a tidal power system over the back of the boat to charge the batteries. Will this cover all of her electrical needs? I'm not sure yet. To be fair, to power a vessel versus what you recover from solar and all the rest, it remains to be seen will she ever achieve 100%, but she could certainly get to 30 or 40%. And maybe as solar cell technology improves, maybe as the battery systems improve, she can get closer to that. But it's a really good start.
A good start to a hugely ambitious project, none of which comes cheap. Adele breaks down the numbers.
So in terms of the barge build, that was in around 20,000, and that money came from my own funds, from Street Art Inc's company funds. The barge build itself, which will have to go out to tender, is going to cost 200,000 to build the barge, but then another 100,000 really to fit it out, because that's just literally the barge build and then to fit it out.
That's a lot of money, Adele.
Yeah. And the way that I see that that has to be financed, because this is a very, it's a public project, it's a community project, it's not a profit venture.
Right.
I'm pushing 60% should be public funding, 25 to 30% sponsorship, and then 5 to 10% donations. At the minute, I'm left, right and centre looking at, and also for the programme funding, because there's public funds out there or funding streams for that.
Yes.
So that's what I'm up to my tonsils trying to apply for at the minute. Then looking at sponsorship as well. I'm like working really hard at the minute to try and, because as you can imagine, all of that, that kind of an amount of money is very hard to raise. But I have full confidence that I'm going to raise it, because it's a great concept, it's badly needed, and it has to be a people-led solution to this, because if it's not, or if the practices don't change, or if the, we're going to be hit with a massive amount of fines from Europe. And that is the only language that government understands, is when it hits the pockets. Like, this is a preventative measure for like serious fines down the way, and it's actually not that big an amount of money to spend on a national programme like this in terms of what you get back.
Sponsorship is one of the many ways that Adele is hoping to generate funds for the project, as you've just heard her say. And the first Waterford business to come to the table is Dooley's Hotel on the Quay. Tina Darrer.
Well, firstly, we would know Adele from the Waterford Walls project, and she helped transform the city. So we'd know her very well from that. But also, we really loved this idea of where arts and science and the community all come together to drive sustainable impact. And we love, too, that it's about education and that it's communities coming together with the scientists. I think it will have an absolutely amazing impact, and not even just for the community and around, but for from a tourism perspective as well, because we're always looking at tourism as well. And I think it'll give, you know, another impact onto the Quays here in Waterford. Like, we've been traditionally a maritime, I suppose, river, and it's great to see more maritime pieces coming back into the city, and to have, I suppose, the same sustainability piece as well is another great impact.
Adele has met and spoken with different members of Waterford City and County Council about floating voices, but she holds special praise for Johnny Codd, the Marina Superintendent at Waterford City Marina.
Johnny has been an incredible support. He's provided and supported us, and which is really important, with a beautiful mooring for the boat. So it has a home, and it's going to be in Waterford Quays down at the back of the clock tower. He's put that aside for us, despite all the busyness around the North Quays.
Yes.
And the pedestrian bridge, other supports like in terms of advice and funding streams and the rest. I would love to send out a thing to the rest of Waterford Council. I have met and I have communicated with different members of Waterford Council on the project and the benefits and how important it will be for the city, and not just for, but to the profile of the city and for the local residents and so forth. I want us all to work together on this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? This isn't my project. As far as I'm concerned, I know I'm putting it together, but as far as I'm concerned, this is our project.
I found it very intriguing, and that's kind of because of Adele's her record with previous social enterprises and projects.
Johnny Codd, Marina Superintendent.
If you look at Waterford Walls and how successful that was, there was a lot of aspects to it. It kind of created a working outlet for artists and gave them employment. The murals themselves raised a lot of topical issues. It created international attention for Waterford, and it brought a lot of visitors into town. So there was kind of multiple aspects to it, and that's kind of how Adele works. She's a very innovative thinker. So when she came to me with the Floating Voices project, I was definitely behind it.
Were you aware of anything similar in other parts of the country, in other parts of the world? Would you have known anything about it at all?
I haven't come across a project of that nature. I mentioned it to a few other Bertholders on the marina, and they had come across similar studio boats in other countries, but not in Ireland.
And you were talking there about Adele and the fact that it wasn't just murals up, it provided employment, it brought attraction, you know, brought people into the city, it created a whole culture, if you like. Do you think that something like Floating Voices has the possibility to do that?
Yeah, I think there's multiple aspects to it. It'll create a little bit of activity on the quay. It'll bring people down to the quay. There's the maritime heritage aspect, and then there's the environmental aspect, the climate agenda and things like that. So the way Adele approaches things, she can look at multiple angles and kind of bring different ideas together. So I think this could have a similar impact, and it could also be a springboard for a maritime museum, which is something a lot of people connected to the river and the estuary would like to see here in Waterford. The suite of museums that we currently offer in the Viking Triangle is really a second to none in the city. I think with the North Quay development and with the mixed use facilities that will be put on the North Quay, it might be an ideal place for a maritime museum to bring people over. There'll be obviously the hotel and a public amenity area, apartments, offices, the two greenways and the transport hub. But things like a maritime museum would be an ideal offering. I mean, half the port was on the North Quay originally before it moved down to Bellevue. So it would be nice to put a maritime museum where once the port operated.
In terms of your time working on the river, have you seen changes in that period of time, and have they been good or bad?
I suppose the whole area of climate and the green agenda, it's not an area of expertise for me. I mean, back in the old days, you had the Port Lauriga, the mud boat, which used to dredge the river, and that doesn't happen anymore. So you see a lot of silt in that building up on the riverbanks, which certainly at low tide it doesn't look good. In terms of future berthing and navigation, it's not what you want to see. In terms of water quality, you'd always be concerned of runoff from either agricultural or commercial activity, and that needs to be monitored, and the likes of the EPA do that. So you'd hope that they're doing a good job in that respect. I would notice a lot of aquatic life. We're seeing dolphins and harbour porpoises coming up now the last couple of summers. I've seen otters down around by the Tower Hotel, and only at the weekend down by Little Island, I saw seals on the riverbank. That kind of aquatic activity would suggest that the water quality is good, but again, it's not an area of expertise for me. It's just the things that I would notice when I'm down there.
Water quality, the way in which we can conserve water and not waste it, that's of huge interest to Adele, and it's going to form an important element of the eco barge.
One of the key features of the barge will be a rooftop garden. The rooftop garden is going to be planted with flowers that and plants that filter and make water clean, as well as preventative flooding. They're actually indigenous native Irish plants, and I want to promote them and bring them to communities that would be in areas of risk of flooding, for example, of which there are many in Ireland after the recent storms in particular. I have the planting scheme already chosen. I know which plants are going to work. There's a number of rooftop garden barges and gardens. One is a great one up in Carlow called Delta Gardens. It's a really interesting, like, as soon as I heard about it, I was like, oh my God, that just ticks all the boxes. That Delta Garden has a dual purpose. It prevents flooding, but also more importantly, it actually filters and purifies water, dirty water. So that's really what I would like to be spreading the word on and promoting through this rooftop garden, and letting people know and what kind of plants are out there and what purpose that. And they're free. They're like native.
And the garden Adele is referring to there is one of a series of award-winning interconnecting gardens in County Carlow. Trevor Gillespie is the project manager at Delta Sensory Gardens in Carlow Town.
Delta Centre itself is a well-known base in on the edge of Carlow Town, Straw Hall here, where we are a centre for adults with additional needs. We have approximately 140 service users here, Clodagh, from Monday to Friday. And we also have residential around Carlow Town and respite for families for weekends, etc. And then we also have 2.5 acres adjacent to the science centre, where we have 16 gardens of different varieties, which is twofold, has a twofold kind of a aim. Is one is for our own service users to enjoy and to work in and to relax. And secondly, as a tourist attraction in its own right, we're part of the Carlow Garden Trail.
Of the 16 gardens at Delta, each has a different theme and it's linked to each of our five senses. And the roofs of some of the buildings at the centre are also utilised when it comes to planting. And that's the area that Adele hopes to incorporate on the barge. Trevor again.
On our cafe building there, Cafe Time, two of the roofs, angular roofs on both sides, left and right, have sedum planting there for the last 15 years. And also the A-frame down the centre of our gardens is also planted with sedum. Some people call them green roofs, but generally sedum was the traditional name. And I suppose the properties of the plants that are in the sedum roof, it stores water during the day in a part of the plant. The water is stored in the leaves, and then the leaves open up at night time to actually water them. So you rarely have to water the sedum roof, and they're very good insulators. Our heating bills will be reduced in that building because they're very, very natural insulated roofs, you know.
As we leave the Delta Sensory Gardens in County Carlow, let's head back to the river and talk practicalities. Rob and Johnny.
It's an 18 by 4 metre boat. So it won't be the biggest boat on that marina, but it will be close to it. About the size of, long as a bus basically, but a little bit lower in profile. It'll be traditional design. Now, when Adele came to us first, she spoke about Dutch barges, and that's actually where the shipwright had put her previously. So a Dutch barge is, it's like a long, narrow boat. The thing is that Ireland has a tradition of those barges as well, and they're typically Guinness barges and stuff that were used for shipping Guinness through the inland waterways of Ireland. So the design that we're doing for her, or have done for her, is based on this traditional Guinness barge arrangement. Not unlike a Dutch barge, but subtly different and of our waterways, if you know what I mean. Yeah, so it should be very pretty.
The boat is a new build, so the quality should be top notch. The boat would have to be insured, and obviously the standard safety features with things like life jackets and life rings and fire extinguishers, first aid kits, VHF radio, all these kind of things would be part and parcel of the whole package. The marina is sheltered. We're so far up the estuary, it's very sheltered, it's very safe, so it would be a good location for a studio boat. Anytime the boat's in transit going from port to port, a qualified skipper will handle that. And naturally, the standard protocols around life jackets and that will have to be followed.
The Port of Waterford has been brought into sharp focus with the beginning of the development of the North Quays, and not least the arrival of the new bridge recently and all the excitement that caused. But really, how often do any of us think about the river, the part it's played in our history, what an amenity it is? Or do we just take it for granted? Johnny Codd and Rob MacDonald again.
I think it's human nature to take for granted what's on your doorstep. I'd imagine that there's a lot of people living in town who've never done a tour of Waterford Crystal or have never been in Reginald's Tower. I know from helping out with the river cruises over the years that a lot of people have never gone down the river in a boat. They've never gone down and seen the island or gone down to Cheek Point or Passage East. So I'd encourage anyone who has never been out on the river to go and see it. Waterford evolves because of the estuary. It was the Celts, the Vikings, the Normans who came up that estuary, and that's how the city grew over the years. And obviously the trade and the commercial activity helped the city develop over the centuries. So if you want to understand your own heritage and culture, definitely take a trip on the river.
The city exists because it's a crossing place for a river. It's actually a very beautiful river. If you ever get the time to travel up and down it, you'll understand just how fabulous it is. The Vikings, when they arrived, they called it Water Fjord because of the very high cliffs and steep valley you get as you come up near Cheek Point and the whole lot. It's stunning. This vessel will open up that amenity further upriver to people, hopefully to classrooms and young people who will be inspired by that. Hopefully it helps us to fall in love with this amenity we have. If projects like Adele's bring us closer to understanding, one, the maritime environment, and two, the beauty of it and the asset that it is to us, maybe we can see change in time.
If you're interested in finding out more about the project, you can follow Floating Voices on all the socials. And in terms of corporate donations, if somebody wanted to hand you 5,000 euros in the morning, is there a name on the side of the boat? What do they get for that?
I have a whole thing put together on that. So if a corporate, I suppose, and actually that could go for anybody at the minute if they want to get in touch. The best way, I think, really, at the minute is actually to go to Edel, E-D-E-L, at streetartinc.ie. Then they'll get to the direct person.
Perfect.
And I'll be able to talk to them directly, because at the minute there's updates with the website and like things are changing. Just contact me and I'll go through everything with them. It's going to be a showstopper, like.
You heard it here, a showstopper. My thanks to everyone who took the time to speak with me about the Floating Voices project. And that's it for this month. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Ours to Protect, brought to you by WLR, the IBI, and funded by Commission Oman, with the television license fee. For more info, see the sustainability page on WLRFM.com.